SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. I hope you're enjoying us on Satellite Radio, Sirius XM 204, all our radio affiliates, Sports Map, Byline, Mightier 1090 in San Diego. Good to have you with us. We bring in Brian Ciano Mafia to talk about the UFC per usual. I want to start with Usman and Burns, that headliner for the 258. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but that's such a great fight that yeah, I had to talk about it. Even that 259 with Jan and Sterling. Can you look ahead a little bit for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, first Usman Burns is one we were supposed to have last summer. That's the one we were supposed to have at Fight Island, the one that ended up being Usman versus Masvidal, because first Masvidal wanted a ton of money and the UFC didn't want to pay him. So they said, all right, we're moving on. They gave it to Gilbert Burns after his win over Tyron Woodley. And then it didn't work out. Burns showed up to Vegas. Him and his, you know, some of his team there got tested for positive for COVID. And they had to wait now, and they had to wait on the sidelines as then Masvidal jumped in and took that fight. And then, you know, they're supposed to possibly get this going in December. It didn't work out, so now we're going to get this beginning of this year in this first quarter here. And it's going to be an interesting fight. These guys know each other well. These guys trained together for years in Florida. So we're going to have to see what, you know, insights they have on each other. If maybe Burns knows something about Usman that everyone else in that division has not found out, you know, something to exploit and possibly win because of. And we'll see if that works out, but that's coming up soon. And then Jan Sterling was one again. They're trying to put together at the end of last year, but Jan had issues with his travel and, you know, with all the stuff that was going on with trying to get that going with the visa and everything like that. He said, you know what? This is my first title defense. I'm not going to blow my belt on, you know, not preparing well enough because I had all this other stuff going on. So he had them push that back, and then now that's going to go further back. We saw, you know, Sterling in his fight to get there against Sanhagen just completely decimated him, just climbed right up on him, got the submission quick. And now he became the number one contender, and he's waiting there for Jan. We'll see how that fight goes. Jan's a guy who has, you know, a little, looks like a little spark plug, has that kind of power there that he can come there and pop you like he did against Aldo. Sterling is, you know, kind of a little more lean and lanky and athletic. We'll see how he attacks him. Does he try to go to the ground? Does he try to stand with him and use some unorthodox striking? But those are two big title fights that we're going to get pretty early this year.
So what about Edwards and Chimaev? They've moved that to March 13th?
Yeah, we're finally getting another booking of that one. There's been issues with that. They tried to make that towards the end of last year. That was supposed to be a December fight. Then, of course, you had Edwards have his problems with COVID. Then they're trying to do it at the beginning of this year. And when they're booking that, then Chimaev had his bout of COVID. And, you know, that's something we've had with a lot of fights, you know, over the last year. You know, guys having testing positive, whether one or both. We had the same thing with Santos and Teixeira. When they're trying to get together, we had to push that back twice because each of them ended up testing positive at some point. So now we'll hopefully get this in the beginning of this year here. And we'll see if Chimaev can live up to the hype. You know, he's had a great run last year with those three quick wins he got. And then, you know, Edwards is a different guy. He's a guy who's one of the top guys in that division. He's in that top 5, top 10 range. So we'll see if he can live up against a guy like that. He's a lot better than Meerschaert was. That was the last guy Chimaev beat. And, you know, those other guys that you can probably not even name that you forgot so quickly that Chimaev beat. So this is the first guy that's a legit guy in that division. Is Chimaev as good as we saw, or as we think he might be? Or is he a flash in the pan? We're going to find out when he finally fights Edwards.
What about Blades and Derek Lewis? They'll be in February the 20th.
Yeah, that's one of those ones with the top heavyweights, and you should be excited about it by the rankings and what these guys have done in the cage. Another situation that was supposed to be end of November. There was COVID issues, I think, the day of or the day before, so they had to push that one back. I mean, that's one that you should be excited for, but the more you think about it, it's just going to be probably a boring fight. We saw what Blades did, you know, against Volkov. This is a guy who, when he gets against guys who are going to come in there and bring the power against him, he's going to take it down. He set a new heavyweight record for takedowns in a fight. I think he's going to do the same thing against Lewis because we know Lewis is not that good against guys who take him down. We saw that when he fought for the title against Cormier. So this should be a great fight, but honestly, when you really think about it, probably won't be.
So I hope you're digging us on Satellite. Check out the new Sports Grid Radio Network on Sirius XM Channel 204. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, Sports Map, Byline, Mightier 1090. Good to have you with us on Coast to Coast on a midweeker. So Holloway, Qatar. It's jacked up. They're fired up. They've released the video. It looks violent. I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm ready for it too. This is going to be an interesting fight here. Qatar's, you know, a tough guy. He's got some power in his fist. We saw him fight last year during the summer and had a, you know, great battle against Ige. I'm not sure if he's on the level of Holloway though. You know, Holloway, when he was coming off that loss, you know, after he lost his belt, he's coming back and fighting. We're like, well, is he the same guy? Or, you know, he looked terrible in the first fight. Is he, you know, done? Is he, you know, have his issues? Is, you know, this the end for this guy, even though he's young? And he came back with a vengeance. He looked great in that fight against Volkanovski the second time. I thought he won against Volkanovski the second time and got robbed by the judges. So now, you know, it's going to be another situation of, well, now you got robbed. Now you don't have your belt. Are you still as focused? Are you, know, ready to climb back to the top? Or is this kind of like, you know, you take this guy lightly? I don't think he will. I think it's going to be a great fight. Pretty violent between these two guys. It should be interesting to watch.
So Michael Chandler and Hooker are on that 257 card, and yeah. I know Chandler wants title shots. I just want to see the fight. I'm sick of hearing about I want to fight for a title after I fight. You know, just let's see a good fight.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. The way he came in from Bellator was, you know, obviously one of the top guys there and kind of was put into a possible title shot when he was the backup for that fight with Gaethje and Khabib. If either of those guys didn't make weight or had issues or, you know, tested positive. So he was ready to go for a title, technically. Didn't get it because both those guys obviously were ready to go when we had that fight happen on Fight Island. And now he's coming in here and finally making his debut. He had some guys ducking me claims and Poirier and Ferguson and some of these other guys. So he finally gets a game opponent here in Hooker, and he's one of the top guys in that division. So, you know, if he gets a win, that should catapult him right there with all the rankings, with all these other guys, you know, especially with guys like Ferguson falling. I just don't know if you get a title shot right away. I think Oliveira, you know, has been there and has a nice run going. So you got to give him the title shot before you give it to Chandler.
So how about UFC Hall of Famer Pat Miletich losing his broadcasting job because he was at the Capitol breach?
Yeah, he was there. He claimed he was with a whole bunch of people, that it was, you know, different. He wasn't with these violent people. But, you know, anyone that's going to be part of that or near that, they're going to, you know, distance themselves away, especially a small promotion like the one he worked for.
More coming up on the Harden deal to the Nets on Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coast to Coast, Carver High. Last night was the last time you heard from James Harden as a Rocket, and it was quite the interview session after the game in H-Town. Can we listen to that first before we get into the big trade today to the Nets?
Yeah, last night, this is kind of the sound that put everything in motion, Scotty, you can say, because after Harden said this last night, there really was no choice left but to get him out of town. Here's Harden.
Which is not good enough. You know, we don't obviously chemistry, talent wise, just everything. And it was clear, like I said, these last few games, they just, you know, from the beginning of the game, they were just aggressive, veteran team, obviously, championship team, and, you know, one of the best teams that we have in this league. You know, I love this city. I literally, you know, have done everything that I can, you know. I mean, this situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, yeah, thanks.
I mean, that is the quitter if I've ever seen one. He's like, I'm done with this. I'm out of here. You can't fix it. It's a mess. I've done everything for this city. I love this city, but see you later. That was crazy.
It really was. And that leads, of course, to this afternoon. We know all of the particulars of the deal now. Harden, of course, going to go to Brooklyn. Victor Oladipo and a bunch of boatload of draft picks are going to end up in Houston. Let Scotty hear from Wall, because I thought that Wall was very interesting last night. Now, today, Boogie Cousins said that Harden's disrespect to the team started long before last night's post-game interview. Basically that he didn't show up to camp on time, he wasn't good to us off the court. And here was Wall minutes after Harden gave those comments.
John, James said he didn't think the chemistry and talent-wise, it was clear. He didn't think it can be fixed. Do you think it can be fixed? And can it be fixed if he doesn't think it can be?
He's tied into his own opinion. I mean, I can't control what he thinks about the team or what we feel like we are. I know how much hard work these guys have put into this training camp and going through preseason to work hard to try to get better every day. I know how much work I have put into it the last 2 years to get back and compete at a high level. And all I can control is what I think I can do as a leader and as a basketball player, and that's go out there and give 110% effort.
Listen, he's scoring 20 a clip. I don't have a problem with John Wall. And I thought Boogie last night with a double-double and he hit some threes. I didn't think he looked that bad for being as fat as he is. I mean, he's just out of control, overweight. I mean, the guy's a slob now. He can barely get up and down the floor, let's face it. But look, you can say whatever you want. They obviously don't respect Harden at all, the players, because they think he's a D. And it doesn't matter because now Wall can go off. He'll start scoring 25, 26 a game. He doesn't have to worry about ball hog Harden anymore. And listen to this. 3 unprotected first-round draft picks, 22, 24, and 26, plus the Bucks number 1 in 22, and pick swaps in 21 this year, 23, 25, and 27. Jesus H. Christ. I mean, they hit the Powerball. This is an unbelievable snag for the Houston Rockets. They are set for the next 15 years with all these picks, any way you slice it. And they get rid of this malcontent ball hog fat ass. Are you kidding me? What a deal. This is a steal for the Rockets. And we have no idea what's going to happen with the Nets. You never know if Durant's going to play, even though he was awesome last night. Kyrie Irving, he might as well just leave. Because, I mean, the guy's an absolute drip. I don't care what anybody says. You know what? I think he actually believes that he's Jesus. I think Kyrie Irving thinks he's Jesus. He's going to go save the world. He's going to save all the race relations. He's going to end the wars. He's going to end famines. He's going to end hunger and homelessness. He's going to save everyone. Then he's going to fix the problems with politics in this country between the Democrats and Republicans. He's going to stop all the violence at the state houses and courthouses and the Capitol. Where is this moron? So I got to tell you, I don't believe for 1 minute Kyrie Irving's going to gel with Harden and Durant. Kyrie Irving is the biggest prima donna pain in the ass in the league, maybe ever.
And once again, he was not with the Nets last night. He is not.
Of course not.
He is not going to be with them tonight when they play the Knicks. And it took a week, Scotty, but the Nets reportedly are finally upset with Kyrie over his absence. So that took a few days, but now it's good to see that they're actually upset with him not being there. The Nets did win a game last night. Kevin Durant had a big three towards the end. The Nets beat the Nuggets. Here's your roster right now, Scott. You've got Harden. You've got Tyler Johnson, Durant, Joe Harris, DeAndre Jordan. Of course, Claxton and Dinwiddie out. Irving has not played. Is this good enough to forget win a title? Because this team, I don't think this team would beat the Lakers, some teams out west. Is this team good enough to win the East?
Well, you know, I said earlier they don't have any bigs because I still believe that. I think Jordan's a mess. He can't hit a shot. He can't hit a free throw. I think he's slow. Allen was an absolute rising star. And they get rid of LeVert as well. I got to tell you, they're naked. But there's no denying what Durant can do. He did it last night, 34, 9, and 13. Dagger step back three to win the game, basically. He's incredible when he plays. At least the guy loves playing basketball every night. He wants to play ball no matter what. And I think Irving's a head case. And now you're going to have a guy in Harden. Let's face facts. No matter what he looks like physically, mentally, there's not one guy in the league that can stop him. The guy will score 30 every night without even belching. So it's the Durant Harden show from now on. And Joe Harris, you know, he can hit threes, but he can also be terrible at times. They lost Kurucs. They've lost everyone that I think was good on that team. Even Torian Prince could hit some threes. I don't know what they got left, but they got Harden and Durant. They gave up the world for him, though. I think they're going to regret it.
Well, they regretted the last time they gave up the world, albeit Garnett and Pierce were a lot older when they gave it up. But with the contract situations of these guys, Scotty, they're going to have to win a title in the next couple of years after pulling this off. A couple more from last night. Let's talk about the 76ers, Scotty. They played a Heat team that was very, very depleted. 137-134 in overtime. Joel Embiid took over in the third quarter. Here he is for you, Scotty, Mr. Embiid.
They all started in the first half. It just felt like I was going through the motion. I wasn't, getting the ball as much. I was just trying to run the offense. And in that third quarter, being down 12 at one point, that's when I felt like I needed to take matters into my own hands. I just decided to be aggressive.
I mean, I couldn't believe what the Heat did in that game last night, to be honest with you. Hero and Robinson went off, and the rest of that hack lineup they had out there gave the Sixers all kinds of problems. But 45-16 from JoJo was impressive. He has the ability to take over a game like that, and he did it last night. It was a really exciting game. In fact, how about this? They're playing again tomorrow.
Yes, back-to-back for them. Of course, that we see a lot of that in this crazy schedule. Thinking of also with the schedule, we'll do the picks for tonight later on, Scotty. We'll save that because I want you to have time with that. There is one game that's already been taken off the board tonight, Hawks and Suns. That game has been postponed due to COVID issues. Also last night, I know you love when LeBron talks, said he was not interested in another NBA bubble. He started shaking, having to think about 96 nights in that place again. So do not talk about any more NBA bubbles around LeBron, Scotty. He wants nothing to do with it.
How about him in the middle of the game last night doing bets with Schroeder with a no-look three bomb from the corner that lit up the bench like they were on fire, and he buried the shot. I mean, they toyed with the Rockets last night like nobody's business. Great games tonight. I can't wait to watch the Nets and Knicks after this deal for Harden to hear what Ian Eagle and everyone's talking about with that game. Lakers and Thunder tonight, there's tons of great games. So I'm all for it, even though they canceled a bunch.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For all back on Coast to Coast, hope you're enjoying the show today on satellite radio on SiriusXM 204, all of our radio affiliates as well, SportsMap, Byline, Mightier 1090, and all of Southern California. Good to have you with us. The great writer Greg Logan of Newsday joins us now after this crazy afternoon where the Nets traded the world to get James Harden. First of all, Greg, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on. I really enjoy your work. I have to tell you, it doesn't matter to me about anything except when I see three unprotected first rounders in 22, 24, 26, plus Cleveland's 22 first round pick via the Bucks, and then all those pick swaps this year, 23, 25, and 27. That is absolute insanity what the Rockets got for James Harden, not to mention the rest of it with Oladipo, LaVert ending up in Indy. But can you believe what Houston got out of this? I mean, this is, it's unthinkable.
Well, this is one of the biggest draft pick hauls in the history of the NBA. And also, it's very reminiscent of what the Nets did a few years back when they traded for Kevin Durant and Paul Pierce. And that wound up bankrupting the franchise and resulted in Sean Marks having to come in and totally rebuild from scratch with no draft picks. So they better hope that, clearly the future is right now, and they better hope that they can produce over these next 3 years with Harden, KD, and Kyrie. And right now, of course, they also don't really know where Kyrie's head is at. So He's been out for four games for personal reasons. He's facing potential NBA discipline for violating COVID protocols. So it's a very chaotic, crazy situation right now. And frankly, you know, losing Caris LeVert and Jared Allen, those were two very popular homegrown players. The fans are going to miss them for sure, and they've given up on a lot of development potential. So it was a huge price to pay.
I mean, Greg, I think Jared Allen was their best player this year. I think he took his game to a whole nother level. Prince can hit threes. I can live without Prince. I have a real problem with them dealing LeVert and Jared Allen. Allen was coming into his own. Like everyone talks about Mitchell Robinson, Allen has played at such a higher level than the kid for the Knicks. It's not even funny.
Oh, Allen has been tremendous, and he's got nothing but upside. He keeps showing a strong upward trend. The other night, he had a great game against Rudy Gobert. He held his own against Embiid the other night in a win over the Sixers. He's just doing nothing but getting better. He's in his fourth year, and he's only 22 years old. So he's really good. And behind him, frankly, DeAndre Jordan, the veteran, he's a 12-year veteran. He's been a little bit weak so far this season, and some people have faulted his effort. And now he's the starting center. And then all they have behind him really is another aging veteran who can play small ball center, Jeff Green. Now he's done a really good, credible job. But again, overall, they're going to lack size against a lot of teams. And ultimately, they're going to have to hope that the second-year player, Nick Claxton, gets healthy. He's got knee tendonitis right now and has missed all of training camp and the season to this point. And they have a rookie forward, Reggie Perry, who shows some promise. But these are the backups for Kevin Durant now at power forward. So it's a bit of a thin lineup right now.
Listen, I like Luau Cabarro. I think he's got a nice upside. I am not buying DeAndre Jordan at all. He's terrible. That's all there is to it. He couldn't hit a shot if it gave him money to make it. He can't hit a free throw, couldn't hit a five-footer. I don't even think he can hit a two-footer. He's a disaster. You know it. I know it. I think they made a huge mistake with Allen. I don't know what was wrong with Chris LeVert this year or Caris LeVert. I think that he was, you know, not shooting the ball well, but he had his moments where we saw, like, the games in Boston last year. He's looked better. Last night he had the Euro step dunk. I thought that was the guy that I was watching last year. What do you think happened to him from last year to this year? Because you know he slipped off a little bit.
Well, I think his three-point shot was off early in the season, and that kind of threw off his whole game. And plus, he's been asked to jump back and forth in roles. You know, during the restart last year, there was no Kyrie, there was no Kevin, and so he took over. He was the team leader. It was undoubted. Spencer Dinwiddie wasn't there either because of COVID, and so then this year he was asked to take a step back into the six-man role. There was some thinking he would start alongside Kyrie, but that didn't happen. So he's bounced back and forth repeatedly, but yet recently he finally found a rhythm. He's coming off his fifth straight 20-point game. He had a 43-point performance in a loss a couple of nights ago, and so he was definitely getting back there, and he's shown that he's a guy who can create on his own and create for others and play defense. Believe me, the Pacers are getting a terrific young player in him.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So Greg Logan, the great writer from Newsday, with us on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid. Let me ask you, I am sick and tired of Kyrie Irving's act. I got to tell you, because he is a brilliant basketball player. There's no getting around how good he is. Let's just leave that out there on the table for starters. But the problem is, and you know what it is, he's an absolute head case. What in the Sam hell is going on with this kid? Is he going to quit playing basketball and retire with $33 million in the bag?
Well, I seriously doubt that he would retire. But I'll tell you, you know, the other night, the last game he played, he was just off the charts. 29 points in three quarters, unbelievable passes, setting everybody up, a nice win. But then, you know, he is deeply, deeply involved in political and social issues. And so this leave of absence began after the insurrection the other day in the U.S. Capitol. Plus, there were some unfortunate rulings in cases involving police shootings of black victims that I know deeply upset him. And he is a guy who, in his behalf, I have to say, nobody has been more generous than him, you know, in terms of charitable donations throughout the entire pandemic, and donations to the WNBA women when they lost their season. And he's just been great on those issues. But it's clear that his head has not been in the game recently. And I think they're a little bit out of patience with him with the Nets. You know, one of their announcers the other day said that he was going to just talk about the people who want to come to work. And so that was kind of a shot across the bow. And we're going to have to see if not only this move gets his attention, because this is what they came here for, but also how is the chemistry going to work between him and a guy like Harden, who pounds the ball relentlessly. You know, what is that going to be like? And I think they are going to have season-long issues to work through. And even though it looks like they should be a championship contender, man, they have a whole lot of work ahead of them and a tough year.
Listen, Greg, I know he does all this social philanthropy and he's on to, you know, the Black Lives Movement. I know he's on the, you know, politics and everything that happened at the Capitol. I know he's concerned about the world. That's all fine and dandy. And I respect that. But honest to God, I mean, the guy's getting paid a super max money to play basketball. And he's not showing up to work because he's, I don't even know. Like, his teammates have to think he's soft and crazy. Marks has got to be sick of it. Nash has to be wondering, what the hell have I walked into? I think he's destroying the team from the outside in. And Durant's there to ball. I thought he looked fantastic last night. But this nonsense has to stop, Greg. This is getting ridiculous.
Well, I think it's interesting. You know, in the past couple of games, when Kevin Durant spoke to the media, he said a couple of things. You know, he won't criticize Kyrie, and he says he'll have to speak for himself and explain himself. He said we pray for him. But he also, when he was talking about his own comeback from COVID protocol, he said he couldn't wait to get to work, and he emphasized how much he couldn't wait to get to work. And then after the game last night, he spoke about Bruce Brown coming off the bench, not playing for a while, and coming in and doing a great job, and he called him a pro's pro. And so Brown was playing the starting point guard position for Kyrie. And so I think, you know, there might be a little bit of concern on Durant's part as far as where his partner is in this big move that they made to Brooklyn. And so I think they're going to have to get their issues straightened out too.
Respectfully, I have a minute, Greg. Do you think Harden will work on the Nets?
In my opinion, I just can't see it working out that well. I think they had so much depth prior to this. And as you have said, LeVert and Jared Allen were on the cusp of really turning into top-notch players. But on the other hand, you could say that Durant and Irving will have a lot of respect for Harden's talent level, and so maybe they will all sacrifice the way they're going to need to make it work. But believe me, it's going to take a ton of sacrifice, and they're without depth, and they lack height.
One last thing. You're great at your gig. And the other one I love is Sarah Kustak. I think she does a fantastic job broadcasting with Iron Eagle. I think she's absolutely terrific. I think she knows basketball as good as anyone I've ever listened to doing NBA. I think she's phenomenal. I love watching. Hopefully tonight, Nets, Knicks will be a good one. It'll be interesting to see what they say about Harden. Greg, thanks so much for coming on Coast to Coast.
Thank you, Scott.
We'll be right back. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cooking hot dogs on the grill on the doorstep, and you get a beauty all alone. Bang, bang, chitty, chitty, bang, bang, and the Penguins lead it 1-0 in Philly over the Flyers. Shake it, shake it, shake it. I have no idea who that kid is. I'm not even going to try to say his name. It looks like Jaworski, Ron Jaworski with the goal, the former Eagle quarterback.
First goal of the season. There we go. We are off and running in the NHL, Scotty. The Penguins get the first goal of this 56 game season. Oh, I just saw it. Finally, your boy right in front. Nice job by him, number 14.
Jankowski. I called him Jaworski.
Jaworski. Let's get to we've got NBA Rack tonight. We've talked all about this trade. We've talked about crazy things going on. There are games, Scotty, on the court. Mavs and Hornets in Charlotte, -4.5, road favorite for Dallas. The Bucks and the Pistons, -11 for the Bucks in Detroit. Nets, Knicks. Nets are 6-point favorite over the Knicks. I'd have to see. That line was probably from earlier. We'll have to see if that moved. The Nets just lost half their team in the trade. And the Lakers, -8, back-to-back nights at OKC to take on the Thunder.
Yeah, I like the Mavs. My number one play over the Hornets tonight. I think they deal. I like the Bucks. I got the Mavs at 4, and then the Bucks, I got them at 10.5. It's 11 now. I still like them over the Pistons in Detroit Rock City. I got the Nets at 4.5. When it opened, it moved to 6. I like it a lot better at 4.5. I think that'll be a great game. I like the Nets, and I like the Lakers and laying the 8. Over the Thunder in OKC. I just think they got too much for them. I know there's a few other games.
Yes, there is. And the Nets is 4, by the way, Scotty. So you like it even better now. Nets -4 on FanDuel against the Knicks. We also have tonight the Grizzlies and the T-Wolves, -2.5 for the Grizz. We've got the Pelicans in L.A. to take on the Clips, -7 for the Clippers. And the Trailblazers and the Kings, -3.5 road favorites for Portland.
I like Minnesota laying 2.5. I like the Clippers to win, but the Pelicans to cover the 7 spot, even without Zion, and then Blazers, Kings. I'm going to go upset here. I got the Kings at 4.5. I know it moved to 3.5. I like the Kings to upset the Blazers tonight at the Golden One.
Let's get to college basketball now, Scotty. First last night's games. We start Michigan thumped Wisconsin, 77-54, a much-anticipated top 10 showdown. Let's hear from Wolverine head coach Juwan Howard. He loves his team, Scotty. Here he is.
You know, our guys, man, they do a phenomenal job of competing. And the energy they brought night in and night out, it's not easy, but they've embraced the competition. They understand that, you know, they're fortunate to be playing basketball, but they know that, you know, each day, it's not easy. They don't know if they're going to be playing a game, but they appreciate the opportunity. And it's beautiful just to have some high character guys that's wired the right way, give to the team. Never once a guy looked as selfish, and it's a beautiful buy-in.
Listen, I told you last night it was my number one play, Michigan over Wisconsin. The way they move the ball, the way they get inside, the way they get easy ducks from 2-3 feet out, dunks, wraparounds, they get in deep into the box. I like the way they play on the baseline. I like the way they pass. They're very unselfish. They play great perimeter three defense. They stop the three. Wisconsin's a team that hits a lot of threes. They took that right away from them. In fact, the last 6.5 minutes of the first half, the Badgers and guard didn't score once. Trice couldn't even score. He got hit in the eye. Michigan flat out kicked their ass. I think the Wolverines and Iowa play for the Big Ten title.
Also last night, Cade Cunningham on Oklahoma State. They get the upset win over Kansas. This kid is money, Scotty. I hope they let this team play in the tournament. And I love watching Kansas lose every night. Nice job by Cade Cunningham. And Kentucky getting whacked at home by Alabama, 85-65 at Rupp. A couple surprises there for the Blue Bloods.
Yeah, I've never seen them lose by 20 at Rupp. I can't remember the last time. I thought they'd win that game. I did hit the Oklahoma State spread last night at 3.5. Cunningham's a flat-out badass. And then I couldn't believe what BC did to Miami and what Virginia Tech did to Duke. Now, Duke came all the way back in that game. They still lost, however. Oregon has paused all their basketball activities. They've canceled games against Arizona and Arizona State. That's a mess. And I know there's tons of games going on right now. Carver High, Virginia spanking Notre Dame 52-33. VCU beat GW. I hit both ends of that. VCU to win, GW to cover the number. And Furman, 94-88 over Citadel. I had Citadel plus 14.5. Furman winning, hit both sides of that. Great games tonight, Carver High.
There is great games tonight, Scotty. So let us start and take a look at a few of them. NC State and Florida State, minus 3.5 for the Seminoles. Arkansas and LSU, minus 1.5 there for the Tigers. Auburn at Georgia, minus 1.5 for Auburn. Ohio State, minus 8.5 against Northwestern in a Big Ten showdown.
I like NC State to cover, Florida State to win, Arkansas to upset LSU. I like Georgia to win at home over Auburn to handle their business for Tom Crean. Ohio State wins in Columbus, but Northwestern covers the number of 8.5. I think that'll be a really good game in the Big Ten tonight.
Also tonight, now this first game up here actually has now been postponed. DePaul and Georgetown, we have a COVID situation with the Hoyas. That game is not going to be played tonight, and the next couple games for the Hoyas are probably going to be off the board as well. Louisville, minus 7.5 at Wake Forest. Mississippi State, minus 6.5 against Texas A&M. Really good one in the Big 12, which is a great conference. Minus 1.5 for Texas, hosting Texas Tech in the game of the night, Scotty.
It is the game of the night, and I like the Longhorns to win there. I was going to lay 3. I love it at 1.5. I told you Louisville means business in the ACC. I like them to win tonight, but I'll take Wake and the 8 spot, and I like Mississippi State. I laid 6 in that game. I know it moved to 6.5 on FanDuel, and everybody knows the damage I do in college basketball hitting winners every night. So I think I'm going to dance on a lot of games tonight. You want me to give you some of the other light ones?
Fire them up. Fire through everything you've got, Scotty, please.
All right, Colorado's my top play tonight. I like them. I'm laying the points. Same thing. My number two play is Boise. Lay the points with Boise. I'm going to go Chattanooga winning. Wofford to win. VMI to cover the 5 spot. I like Dayton to win, but Duquesne to cover the 5.5. George Mason beats LaSalle, but give me LaSalle in the 3.5. I like Temple to win a game tonight. Wichita State to win. Lay the 1.5. UMass with an upset at home tonight and getting 1.5. And then that covers it. That's the rest of my snags. All the other games are going on right now as we speak. And I stayed away from the Bonnies and Fordham Rams and all that nonsense. But I think that's all the games. As far as that Chattanooga game is, they're getting one from Mercer at Chat. I love that game. And the Mississippi State 6 is against A&M. And that Boise line is 8.5 against Wyoming. They played them in Laramie the other night and slept with their girlfriends. They beat them so bad.
Couple of college football notes for you, Scotty. Texas coach Steve Sarkisian, of course, after winning national title with Alabama on Monday night, first order of business with the Longhorns. We are keeping Eyes of Texas as the song, as the fight song down there. So we are not going to be getting rid of any songs under Sarkisian's watch, Scotty. We're going to press on and have that song that everybody hates.
Yeah, here's the deal. You can sing songs all you want. They need to go to gigantic games, and that includes massive bowl games. And then he needs to get them in the college football playoff, not just play in the Cotton Bowl or whatever else, because Texas has not mattered for 20 years, and that's just all there is to it. He's got a massive job on his shoulders, and I don't care what song he sings. Sing to Jesus for all I care. All I know is you better win down there, or they'll barbecue your ass.
One thing that Sark does not have, Scotty, he does not have Mac Jones, Devonta Smith, and Najee Harris going with him to Texas. So a lot of work for Sark to do when he gets down there. Let's go. Mark Emmert, another one of our favorites. Stunningly, Scotty, he opposes an idea to separate FBS football from the NCAA. Couldn't disagree more that they should do that. I wonder why, Mark. Is it because you don't want the NCAA to lose all that big money that those college football teams bring in? What a stunning revelation, Scotty, from the great Mark Emmert.
You know, he's a guy I'm sick and tired of, but I'll tell you this much. He's got one job. He has to finish the contract with the college football playoff being four teams and turn that into an NCAA basketball tournament. Give me at least, you know, 8, 12, 16 would be fantastic. That's what the public wants. You know, the UFC gives the public what they want. Boxing tries, but they fail to give the public what they want. The NFL gives the public what they want. It's time for Mark Emmert to get off of his schneid and finally give the public what they want instead of what Mark wants. Mark makes all his decisions, he claims, for student athletes. But what he means in Portuguese is Mark's never wrong. He does whatever he wants, and he's a power tripper. He's got to fix the college football playoff and bowl system because it's an absolute train derailment.
National title game, by the way, Scotty, ratings down 36% from last year. It was the lowest rated title game since 2005. I'm sure it has nothing to do with seeing the same four or five teams in it every single year. That has nothing to do with it, right?
And it's the same story. I'm sick and tired of watching Alabama kick everyone's ass, and I'm sick of watching Ohio State get gift wrapped, their trip to the playoff, and then get their ass beat. And I don't want to hear it. I said this the other night. Notre Dame was awful, but they covered. Clemson was awful, but there was no one worse than Ohio State in their performance against Alabama. And they did absolutely at 14-all, the game ended, and they never did another good thing the rest of the night. So I don't want to hear about Ohio State anymore. I'd rather, you know, swallow my own vomit.
Look, the story remains the same with all these college football playoff games. It's been 7 years now. 11 of the 14 semifinal games were absolute blowouts. Only 3 out of 14 games in 7 years were worth watching. And of the 7 national title games, Scotty, 5 out of the 7 were absolute bunk. There was no reason to watch in the fourth quarter. Blowouts every single year. Other than that Alabama-Clemson game a couple years ago and the Alabama-Georgia game, you don't get good games in the final or in the semis. You just don't, you never get them. And that's why the ratings are going down.
Those are very valid and incredible skinny you just gave us. I think there's a lot going on in the world. I think there's people trying to impeach the president. I think there's political wars going on. There's chaos with, you know, right-wing groups, left-wing groups, violence at the Capitol, threats to our country, threats to state houses and federal buildings, you know, Antifa, you name it. It's all crazy. Violence, bombs, pipe bombs, pipes, baseball bats, people killing people. And then, you know, on top of that, it just, you know, the fact with all that going on and the inauguration, and people are very nervous, the FBI, there's so much going on politics, and the world is collapsing. And with COVID, I just don't think people give a rat's ass about college football.
And finally, Premier League, Man U back atop after the 1-0 win over Burnley. Are you ready for Man U and Liverpool on Sunday, Scotty? Big match in the Premier League.
I am. And how about Messi? He gets 230 grand a week till he's dead.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Gustafson on the doorstep with a shot. It goes between Jerry's legs and trickles behind him, but he makes the save with his stick and still wants it. Penguins Flyers on the power play with 5.5 left in the first. 1-0 Pittsburgh. I'm losing weight over here. Hockey triple header on NBC tonight. Are you kidding me? Strap in. I'll be all over it on Ferrone Bench at 10 p.m. Eastern on Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM 204, and Mightier 1090, MAP, Byline. You know what's up, little pucks. A-Rod sued by his ex-brother-in-law who seeks millions and claims A-Rod profited from hurricane relief. I hope it was the Miami Hurricanes. Reports identify Olympic gold medal winning swimmer Cleet Keller among the Capitol rioters. Guy shows up at the riots with his USA swimming jacket on, you moron. Trump fan found dead just days after being arrested at the Capitol riots. What a shame. Bruce Willis told to leave a pharmacy in L.A. after not wearing a mask. Bruce getting involved. Lisa Montgomery, the first woman executed in the U.S. since 1953. Montgomery strangled an expecting mother and cut the baby out of her womb in 2004. Philly scores on the power play. They called her the Womb Raider. Sick. What a gem she had to be in cell block D. Can you imagine having dinner with her? What are you having? I'll have the mashed potatoes and your baby. Lamar Odom signs a celebrity boxing contract. First fight to be determined. Can't we just get him back in a brothel smoking crack? It was so much better. And Supreme Court tosses the split verdict conviction of the former killer of St. Will Smith. That guy's getting out of jail, and they're saying it was self-defense because Smith went back to his car to get a gun to kill him. They're letting that guy out. I bet a lot of people in New Orleans aren't happy about that. You'll have that. 1-1 Flyers Penguins. I mean, this is delicious. 5 hockey games. This is better than sex. I'm watching all night long. Nets Knicks. Game Time Decisions is next with your boys. Morency, Cam Stewart, and co. Great job, Mafia, Carver High, and LTN. Good night, everybody.